Hello, ladies. It's Marcella here with Kylie, and we with the Moms Ministry want you ladies to know how much we care about you, and we miss you. We miss the many faces that we used to see last year, and you know, we hope that you are doing well, and we're praying for you. So, so this is something that we're doing right now, that I'm doing with Kylie, is to dive in deeper to Psalm 127, which is the theme passage that we have with our theme of essential for the year. And, you know, we've had this associated with our theme throughout the year, and some of the talks that we've had, the presentations, we've had like speaking to essential things and what we feel is essential in our motherhood and parenting, and we're going to continue to have more of those types of talks. But I've realized that we haven't really dug in deeper to Psalm 127 because I just really feel like this is so impactful when you really take time to look into Psalm 127 and read what it says. It speaks to our motherhood, and it speaks to just the whole of our lives and what we're building our lives on. So what are we building our lives on? I think that, you know, we can learn some of that from going through the psalm together. So why don't we do that? And Kylie, can you go ahead and read the psalm for us?
Yes, I'll go ahead and read it. So Psalm 127, a song of ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
The first verse here, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. What does it mean for the Lord to build our house? When we think about our house, this could mean our home. This could mean our family. How might we be trying to build it ourselves? You know, because it speaks to God being the builder of our house. But what can we do to let God be the builder of our house?
Well, I think one of the most explicit ways is just by actively trusting him and acknowledging that we aren't really doing anything by our own strength, but everything that we do is with God's help. And that it also means submitting it to what he has revealed to us in his word. And so that if we're not building our lives in the way that he has shown us in scripture how we're supposed to be living our lives, then we probably aren't letting him have a role in building our houses.
Yeah. So it says in vain that we build it. So what happens when we are being the builder of our lives and our homes?
If it's in vain, it means it's not going to have the result that you're wanting it to, and eventually it might fall apart. I think God's often gracious and lets things continue on well, even when we're not entrusting those things to him. But there comes a point when things will fall apart if we're trying to do it without him, because he's designed the world to work in a certain way. And if we're not submitting to that way, then it's not going to happen well.
Yeah. So I think something that we need to recognize is that ultimately he is the builder of all life, and he is the provider of all the things that we have. And so if we are trying to take control of that ourselves, then, you know, it often just slips out of our hands and we don't have the control that we thought we had, right?
This never shows up as wives and mothers, does it?
Oh man, do we see that happen?
So in daily life for you, and when we were talking, you gave some examples of ways that you or your husband Sam are letting God be the builder of your house. So what does that often look like for you guys?
Yeah, so you pointed to the promises that we have in the Word, in the Scriptures. And, you know, those are such vital truths that we have to hold on to, you know, what God's character is and what he's promised for us as Christians as we submit our lives to him. But one of the ways that I feel like is so essential for us to be actively letting God be the builder in of our house is through prayer. And you know, this could be in the small little things like, oh, my child is not you know, eating their food, and I want them to not be wasting their food. So, you know, you can pray in that moment, like, Lord, please help me to, you know, stay strong to what I've felt that is important. You know, and those kinds of things, you know, those times when you're just really like so tempted to sway, and you're so torn for your child's sake and just for your own sanity, but, you know what you've found to be a rule that you want to hold to in your home. So, you know, just praying in those small moments for God to help you, you know, that's allowing him to work in your child's heart, because, you know, we can't change our child's hearts and we can't change their minds oftentimes too, but ultimately their heart, like, that's what God has the control of. Something that I specifically have been impacted by with the answer to prayers that, you know, I prayed for, you know, my husband Sam and I just to be united in where we are in our walk with the Lord. You know, I was really, you know, needing him to come alongside me. And so, you know, I put that before God and I prayed about it. And he answered, and it's been just such a blessing for Sam and I both to, you know, be able to be at this point where we recognize that God is working in our lives, and he has more for us, for sure, you know. But, you know, as the husband being the head of the house, like, that's, you know, where your home can be structured and built. And, you know, for me, I felt like that was important, and I prayed about it, and God, he knows even more, and he cares, and he cared about our condition and where we were, and he answered. And, you know, I praise the Lord for that. Do you have any ways that you feel like you've been able to let God be the builder of your home, Kylie?
I think same thing, mostly with prayer. I think for me, often the bigger thing is the second part of that verse you're talking about. God is guarding the city with Ezra being in the military and having been deployed, and then he worked night shifts for a while, and he was often gone at night or longer. And so it was easy to feel like, I don't want to go to bed because I want to keep watch over my house. Or feeling like, well, if Ezra, even if he's sleeping, it's like he's still protecting the house more than I could or would. And so just a reminder here too that it's the Lord watching over the city that is what protects it. And without that, I could stay up all night. That would be in vain because it doesn't rest on me to protect my family.
Yeah. You know, a passage that I feel is really spoken to that, it's one that we all know, but it's so good to focus on still. In Luke 12, Jesus is speaking and he says, don't worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. And he talks about the ravens, and they don't sow or reap. They don't store up their food in a barn, but God feeds them. And you are much more valuable than birds. And the lilies of the field, how much more will he clothe you as he clothes those lilies and makes them beautiful without the beautiful clothes of Solomon, you know, like he did. So, and it also says in verse 30, for all these things, the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and all of these things will be added to you. So when we think about the security that we need, that we long for, the security that, you know, a watchman would bring to a city, you know, like, oh, he's got it. He's taking care of it. You know, we can do that in our own lives too. And we can, you know, think that we're, you know, gonna have a long, good life because we've kept our bodies healthy and we've put our security in that. Or we could put our security in the insurance and the financial situation that we're in, and, you know, be striving to work towards that as our security, like the watchman. But ultimately, you know, this verse says that God should watch your life. Otherwise, it's going to be in vain, you know, unless the Lord watches the house, the watchman stays awake in vain. And we see how much he cares about us, you know, in the very intimate little ways through, you know, providing for our needs, our food and our clothing. You know, and I think that with those verses, you know, those are the things that we can cling to, and that we can have security in the Lord, knowing that he is watching over us.
Also talks about him providing for all of our needs, which also goes back to him. He's going to build the house. He's going to watch over it, and he's going to build it.
Yeah, that's right. He builds it, and he takes care of what he builds. You know, he doesn't just leave it without any care, you know. So we've kind of like touched on and seen that, you know, the vanity of things, you know, that is also in my mind, I associate it with the cause of stress and the cause of anxiety. You know, when we are striving so hard. And so in this next verse, in verse 2, it says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. In the ESV, it says he gives to his beloved sleep. In the NASB, it says that he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. So with this first part, the anxious toil that we go through, Kylie, where have you seen that toiling show up in the Bible?
The actual Hebrew word that Ezra said, told me, Ezra explained, is that it's actually the word that God uses when he's talking to Adam and Eve after they sinned. So there was work. God had given them commands and things they were supposed to do before the fall, but after they sinned is when it becomes both in Adam's work and in tilling the ground, and for Eve bearing children, that it becomes this, sometimes it's translated in pain or labor, but it's the same word here, that anxious toil. And so it's a result of the fall and toiling anxiously because things aren't working the way they're supposed to, and because of sin in our own hearts.
But has God left us without help in our toiling? You know, obviously in Luke 12, we read about Jesus' words to the disciples about God caring for them, even, you know, in those small intimate ways. Are there any things that you can think of, Kylie, that are like, you know, maybe Old Testament, you know, where God helping us and giving us relief from our toil? Like, how can that come about?
One of the things that comes to mind is the way the Holy Spirit would come upon people. And in the Old Testament, that was more of a temporary thing, but for us, it's a permanent indwelling by the Spirit. So he's with us all the time, but it was for specific things that God had called them to do. So the things that God put in people's lives, he empowered them to do. So he was helping them to do the things that he needed them to. So he wasn't leaving them to do the work he had told Adam and Eve to, and the ways he wanted the world to work and happen. He wasn't leaving them alone in that.
There's a difference. There is a work without the Lord and a work with the Lord. So when the Holy Spirit comes, then that's something that they themselves can know, that they are doing the Lord's work.
And he also gives us the people around us. And that's clear from seeing God's people grow in the Old Testament. And now we have the church as well that comes alongside us, or should come alongside us, in the things that we are doing in our lives.
Yeah, so it's so comforting to know that the Holy Spirit, you know, he's always there. And God has not left us alone. Even though there was the terrible curse and the anxious toil that happened from the beginning with Adam and Eve, you know, God has not left us without help, even in the midst of those times when, before Jesus had to come to bring his saving grace. So how do we toil in our lives, you know, maybe even as mothers and as wives?
And as everyone who's a mother knows, there's work is inescapable. But even just what Marcel, you were talking about earlier with giving things over to the Lord in prayer, that it doesn't have to become anxious toil. If we're sitting there and our kid's not eating their food and it's all about how we can make them do it, I think it easily becomes anxious toil. And it's amazing how high strung I get about a kid not eating their food. Like, it's such a little thing. And it really can become an anxious toil to be like, keep eating, keep eating, keep eating. But it doesn't have to be, because we can entrust that to the Lord and pray for his help. A verse that comes to mind about God's help too is in Hebrews 4:16, where it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
Yeah.
So bringing the prayer aspect of it in again,
mm-hmm.
and help keep us from anxious toil.
Yeah, it's all about the motivation and the perspective that you have behind your work. Because obviously work is not a bad thing. God told Adam and Eve to work the ground. And, you know, it is good to work. But it's when we are doing it without God, that's where it becomes anxious toil, you know, a striving after wind. So the next little section talks about sleep. You know, as I read before, it says, "For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." In the NASB, the ESV says, "He gives to his beloved sleep." You know, and we as his beloved, you know, we, and as mothers, we need our sleep. And, you know, it might be kind of laughable thinking like, you know, really, he gives us sleep, you know, when we're in the newborn stage and we have a baby waking us up every couple hours.
It's definitely time to realize that sleep is a gift.
For sure, yeah.
Get granted.
Yeah, but I think again, it comes back to the mindset behind it. You know, whether it's the sleep that he's giving, or it's the whatever he's providing, the peace while we sleep, or the ability to have energy for the next day to accomplish those chores, those things that he can give, and he can do those things. You know, I think we just need to remember that God is the giver and provider of these things as we trust them to him. And, you know, we need to often just like let things out of our hands. You know, as mothers, we know that so well, that, you know, like you said, Kylie, there's always something to be done. And it's always so tempting just to be, you know, thinking, oh, I should just fold that basket of laundry, you know, me being pregnant, like right now, it's like, I'm tired, I need a nap. But, you know, I could do these things during nap time. I could get them done. But then it becomes, you know, an anxious toil when you think like, you know, oh, it has to be done. Like, I have to get this done now. Otherwise, things are just going to fall apart and our house is going to go into chaos. You know, your mind just runs into all those worries and anxieties. But instead, like, you know, we can trust that God cares about us and that he will help us when we need it, and pray for him to give us energy. You know, go lay down, take a nap. I had to do that myself this afternoon. Go down, lay down and take a nap. So I did.
Taking his gift of sleep to let him run his own universe.
Yeah, and again, he knows that we need food and clothing. And I think that he knows that we need sleep too. He designed our bodies. And he gave us these children, but he knows that we need sleep. So again, also Kylie, about the working and the work aspect of it. You were talking about the Psalm 31 woman, and just, why don't you, do you have that? Can you read that?
Proverbs 31. I won't read the whole thing because it's 20 some verses and it's just full of over and over of all these ways that she is working and caring for her home. It even says she's rising early and her lamp does not go out at night. Now, this doesn't mean every single day and every single night, but showing her being industrious and working. So she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And then it says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. But it's also very clear, it says, the charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so we see that the fear of the Lord is what's driving all of this work that she's doing, and she's doing it out of care for her family. And as you pointed out, Marcel, out of love and care. It's not this desire to just have more and always be doing more. And it's just an example of working hard to care for our families while trusting the Lord.
And reading that, I feel like I got the sense that, you know, she wasn't doing it in an anxious way. You know, she was
so hearing she lacks the time to come. Like, she's not doing it because she's worried that the future is going to be bad or they're not going to have enough.
Yeah. And she also provides for her maidservants, you know, the ones that you would think that would be, you know, having to cater to her every need. But she's caring for them, and that is an extra blessing. I feel like that she's, you know, giving of her time to do that out of love and out of fear of the Lord. I think, you know, it speaks to just how she views life and values each individual as being the child of God. So, you know, I think that's just so beautiful. And it gives me such comfort knowing that God is the builder of our lives, and He is watching over our lives, and He cares, He provides, and, you know, we don't need to worry and we don't need to be anxious, especially in this time of, you know, the world just being upset, and our politics, our government, our children's schooling, our worship in churches, everything is in just pushing us towards being anxious. But no, we don't have to go that way, and we don't have to succumb to all those trials and temptations that the devil's putting in our way, because we have the Word of God, we have God to cling to. And we know that he has given us all these good things around us, and that He will care for them. And just to remember to bring them to Him in prayer. You know, if you are tempted to be anxious about something, you know, that should be an indicator to ourselves. I'm preaching to myself here. It should be an indicator that, you know, you're not trusting God when you are starting to be anxious. You know what He said in His Word. So just, you know, repeat those promises and trust in faith and pray and ask God to help you through those times when you feel like everything's falling apart. Kylie, why don't you read the next verse that we have here?
It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb a reward." So one example of the ways that we're going to need to let the Lord build our house and assess our work to make sure it's not anxious toil is in how we're taking care of our kids. And how we're viewing our kids, how we treat them and talk about them and think of them. So how might we anxiously toil with our children? You know, we've touched on that some already.
Yeah, it could be just with a disciplinary thing. You know, you think and worry like, oh, this is going to be their, you know, psychological problem for life. Because I've, you know, been disciplining them in the wrong way or something. Or, you know, or a health problem that they've had since they were younger or just appeared. You know, your mind goes towards the worst situation possible. And so when we are caught up in trying to fix the problem ourselves, that's anxious toil. You know, we get caught up in thinking, okay, I need to take them to this doctor, or, oh, I need to start putting money into this savings account for them so that they will be able to go through college. You know, but I think God cares about them. And, you know, it says that children are a blessing from the Lord. And we know from the beginning that God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed his breath of life into them. And so he's the one that has given all life. And, you know, we value that. And us as having the right perspective of our children is knowing that God has given that life to your care in the first place. And, you know, just again, repeated, something that he has provided, he has built. And that he has, well, he will care for that thing that he has given, that gift. And, you know, he cares about your children even more than you do, which is, you know, it seems kind of weird to say, like, you know, it's kind of a weird thing to say when I say it to my children, like, God cares about you even more than I do. And you're just thinking, like, okay, what's going through their minds? Like, mommy doesn't care about me. But, you know, if you really know God and who he is, then that's a great comfort to know that he cares about us even more than the people around us, even those that are closely related to us.
On one form of anxious toil can come in the form of control. And so then we feel like, oh, well, we forget God loves them more than we do. It feels like, well, the idea I have of how their life, how I want to build our house in the way I want their life to look, the way we want their lives to look, and we're building it, our house according to how we want it to be. And we feel like anything that God brings in that's not what we had planned can feel like God doesn't love us. And so it's helpful to remember, it's like God loves them even more than I do. And so whatever he's brought in or allowed to come in that doesn't line up with what I had planned, it's because he actually loves them more than I do.
Yeah, that health problem or that bad relationship or something, you know, could be for the good of them and even for us too. Mm-hmm. For us to
feel like we're failing because we can't give them, whether it's our ideals of how we're feeding them, how we want them to eat, and we can't feed them that way because of finances or because of time. And just remember that those circumstances are not outside of God, and so that those things are happening because he's going to use them for how he wants these houses, our families and our children, how he wants their lives to go, because he loves them.
Mm-hmm.
So we can rest and not toil anxiously, because even if we're not meeting our food ideals or our schooling ideals or things like that.
Yeah. So we know that children can be a cause of anxiety and stress, you know, when we're taking our eyes off of God's work in their lives. What's another way that we are not seeing them as being a blessing? Our attitude towards our children? Is it that of knowing that they are a blessing from the Lord?
And this doesn't mean that we don't see them as hard sometimes. I think especially the placement of this verse within Psalm 127, where it's talking about work and having to do things, it's saying they're a blessing doesn't mean, oh, they're always perfect, or we always just feel super great about them. But our attitudes definitely, how we talk about them, how we think about them. It's really popular to talk about our kids in a way that is demeaning to them, and we feel like it's funny, or we're joking about them, and talking about how we just can't wait to get away from them. And we obviously need breaks.
Yeah.
But we can long for a break and be wise in taking one without treating our children like they're less important, or like they don't matter, or like we don't like them. And I feel that way sometimes. And so it's a time to then repent and ask God to change my heart so that it is one of seeing them as a blessing from Him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely, you know, there are those moments when I'm tempted to, you know, just complain about my kids, they're just not doing what I want them to do, you know. Or you're just, you know, so tired and you just want them to go to bed. But just being fearing the Lord, like the Proverbs 31 woman, and knowing that children are a blessing, we instead should have, you know, a hopeful attitude and a good heart towards them, knowing that they are even precious souls before the Lord. You know, we ourselves make many mistakes, and we probably cause lots of angst and frustration in the lives of our children if we are, you know, not doing things that maybe we should be doing, or maybe when we are doing the good job that we should be doing in our parenting. You know, we are all human and we struggle with prideful and selfish thoughts, you know, us parents and our children do as well. So how can we change our attitudes or grow in this mindset about children being a blessing?
Prayer is a big one. I think asking God to help us to see our kids as He sees them. And He is more aware of their sin than we are. And yet they're still valuable to Him, and Jesus still welcomed children in His time on earth. And they are as fully human as we are, and in God's image. And so it's not phrasing this well, it's rude to God to be rude to them, because they're in His image, and He sees them as valuable.
Yeah. And we see that with Jesus being God, come here in human form. He loved the children, and He wanted them to come to Him. And, you know, as we are at Moms, you know, our mission is to call and equip and encourage women to become like Jesus in their roles as wives and mothers. And so as we strive to strive in a good way to be towards that image of Jesus, you know, one of these ways is seeing children as Jesus did, you know, because, you know, he gave us the perfect example of how to live life on earth, you know, through all the temptations and through the injustices and through the relationships that we have with others. And Jesus is our example to follow. And we as mothers have a wonderful example in him of how to look at our children.
One area in that I was convicted of recently as we've been reading through Matthew, and I don't remember what chapter is off the top of my head, but it's right after Jesus learned that John the Baptist, his cousin, had been beheaded, and he went off to go be by himself and pray. But the crowds followed him. And I'm thinking about times where I am in a bad mood, and usually it's not that my cousin died. So it's a much smaller thing than that, and my kids come, and I'm like, leave me alone. I want to be alone. Why are you following me around? Why do you need to talk right now? And but Jesus' response when these crowds followed him is it says he had compassion on them. And he sat and he taught them and he fed them. It's one of the instances where he feeds the 5,000. And after that, he is able to go have some time by himself to pray. But I was just really convicted by that, like how awful he must have felt. And then to be able to have compassion on these crowds of people.
Yeah.
Like, to be fed.
Like, yeah. Kids. That is beautiful.
So that was convicting to me about my attitude.
Mm-hmm.
My kids recently.
Yeah. Like, can we just, Lord, Holy Spirit, please, like, remind us of that in the moment when our children are coming to us all at the same time. You know, they come in the crowds. It reminds me of a, you know, the Loving the Little Years book where she's talking about the kids all, like, pushing the chairs into the kitchen in droves when she's trying to cook dinner. It's like, can I help, Mommy? Can I help? You know. We have to let them in, like Jesus let all people into his life, even when it seemed like a very inconvenient and tiring, stressful time for him. So with the last part of this, verse 4 through 5, there's a lot of cultural things that I feel like we probably can't understand completely, but, you know, I think it still speaks to children as being a blessing. So what are some of those metaphors that we have? Here, let me just read the verses. It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to the cultural metaphors, there's also, it's a psalm, it's a poem. And so the more cultural difference and the more time, it is harder to understand some of what it means. But like you said, it is, they're all pointing to children being a blessing, whether that's for fighting literal enemies, or speaking more in a spiritual sense, or just having, like, children of one's youth, having children to support you in your old age, or showing that, like, if you look at Abraham and Sarah, and they weren't able to have children until they were old, and that was a difficulty. to be able to have children in your youth is a blessing.
As we see that children are a blessing through and all of this, and we see that God is the giver of their lives. We as moms have a wonderful privilege of responsibility before us to commit them to God, just as we can commit our homes to God and just our lives and our protection and our provision. We commit them to Him because He is the giver of all those things in the first place. And I believe that God will bless you as you trust Him in faith. Do you have anything else to say, Kylie, as we wrap up our time here?
I don't think so. I mean, I would say one encouragement or challenge almost, encouragement, is to try to look for space to be taking the sleep, whether it's more of a just restful time. But to say, you know, I can put this aside. I know as moms, it's especially hard because it feels like the whole house depends on us. But just to say, I'll put that off maybe until tomorrow, or I'll stop my work day at a certain time so I can do something, so I'll have more energy for tomorrow. To take that gift from the Lord that it doesn't all depend on us.
Yeah. We can give it into the hands of our Lord.
With that, just take time in prayer, praying over the things that you might be anxiously toiling
mm-hmm.
about, even if it's as little as your kid not eating his lunch or her lunch, because we're all girls over here. But
yeah. Really quick, let me just read Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why don't I just pray for ending our time here, and I hope that this time has been an encouragement to you ladies. And again, we miss you all. Father, thank you so much for this study of Psalm 127 that we've been able to have, and the encouragements that we have from it, and the truths that we can glean. Lord, I just pray for us and for these women that are listening, that we would all be able to rest our lives on you and put our burdens in your hands, because we know that you have given us our very lives and our breaths and the lives of our children as well, and you care for us all. And through all of the challenges and all of the trials and stresses, you know them all, Lord. And so we can have confidence to come to you with our cares. Just bless the rest of this year as we wonder what is ahead of us. And we wonder what is going to happen. But Lord, you know, and we are looking forward to seeing how you will work in our lives. I pray these things in your precious name. Amen.